Welcome home, victorious ones. Back to the bass section of the choir. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Tonight we come to study it, and I pray you'll help us as we do. Please, in Jesus' name, amen. May I inquire as to your comfort tonight? Are you too warm? Are you just right? Are you too cold? All right. I'm just right, so we'll leave it right where it is. Most people tonight are just right. I want you to sit up straight. I want you to look right this way. And I want to talk to you for a while tonight about something that I think is of utmost importance as I continue teaching on the subject of justice. I want to make a statement to begin with. The statement is this: evil is not the same as sin in the Bible. Now, evil is sin, but sin is not necessarily evil. Evil is a part of sin, a type of sin, but you can sin in the Bible without using the word evil. You can check all you want to check, but the two are the same. The word sin in the Bible is the word hamartia, or some form of that, which means missing the mark. Like you commit an individual sin. You get mad, you lose your temper. Or you take a drink, or you smoke a cigarette, or you're jealous, or you say something you shouldn't say, or you go somewhere you shouldn't go. Now, that is sin. However, the word evil is not the same Greek word as the word sin. The word evil implies to injure. Evil, the difference in sin and evil is that sin is missing the mark. It's anything that's wrong, anything that misses the mark. But evil is when that missing the mark becomes injurious or an injury to somebody else. Let me illustrate. You can sin by reading a dirty magazine or looking at a dirty magazine. Now, that's sin. But when you enter into a system of publishing or spreading that dirty magazine, then that becomes evil, because evil is that part of sin which injures somebody else. It implies a union or a system, if you will, please, and it always implies injure or injury. In the Greek, it is never the word hamartia, which is the word for sin, and there are two words for the word evil, but it implies. Let me see if I can put it this way. Sin is something the individual does wrong. Evil is being a part of a system of sin and becoming an ally with a system of destruction. You follow what I'm trying to say? So sin is when you simply do something that's wrong, an individual act of missing the mark and doing something that's wrong. But when you become a part of a system and you ally yourself with somebody else in a system to injure somebody, whether it's injure somebody physically, injure somebody's reputation, injure somebody emotionally, you become a part of a system, or in some, you might want to use the word conspiracy sometimes. And when you become a part of that system and make an alliance or ally yourself with other people and join with them in trying to injure, then you have the word evil. Let me illustrate. You smoke a cigarette. That is a sin. You work in the cigarette factory. Listen to me now. Everybody look out this way. No talking. You work in the cigarette factory. Then that is an evil. Now, it is still a sin, but the sin becomes an evil when you enter into an alliance with somebody else for the injury of someone, or you use sin for injuring somebody. That means if you grow tobacco and you sell that tobacco, that means that you are committing an evil. If you just smoke a cigarette, you're only committing a sin. Let's suppose you go to a movie. Now, that's a sin. But if you work at the movie, or if you help make the movie, then that becomes an evil. Because you have entered into some kind of a system of injuring somebody else. So follow me carefully. When you enter into an agreement, listen, young folks, when you enter into an agreement or an alliance, and the purpose of that alliance is to injure then that becomes an evil. Don't forget that now, because when you read in the Bible, it talks about evil men shall wax worse and worse. What does that mean? That means men will get together to hurt the work of God more and more as the time, as the end time approaches. So, that's what evil. Now, sin is what destroys you. Evil is what you do, joining with somebody else, to destroy somebody else. Sin is what injures you. Evil is what you do, joined up with somebody else, to injure somebody else. Now, I'm going to say a word. No Christian ought to ever want to injure anybody. And I said again, no Christian ought to ever want to injure anybody. So, now, it may be that we have to come to a place sometimes where we defend ourselves, as I do sometimes, but I do not do it with a desire to injure anybody. We should not want to injure, and especially should we never enter into any kind of a movement where several people get together to injure anybody else. That's evil. So sin is when I injure myself, and evil is when I join in the destruction of somebody else. For example, a fellow goes into a tavern, and he orders a beer. Now that's sin. But the bartender is committing evil because he has entered into a movement or a system with the distributor, with the liquor company, the beer company, for the destruction of people. So, evil is an alliance of people for the purpose of hurting somebody else or injuring somebody else, where sin is that which injures you. Sin is when I criticize somebody. Now, that's a sin. Evil is joining with someone else to hurt somebody. You follow what I'm trying to say? Now, it's wrong for me to criticize anybody. But if I say, if I criticize Brother Young over here, and now that's sin. But if I get together these fellows over here and try to hurt Brother Young, then that's evil. Because evil is a movement. Evil is somewhat of a conspiracy. Evil is when you get together, or I get together with somebody else, and injure in an attempt to join together to injure them. Let me see if I can give you an example. Open your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 6. Nehemiah chapter 6. Verse number 12. Now, when you get there, I want you to look this way. Let me prepare you for it. In the book of Nehemiah, God's people have gotten back to the land of Canaan, promised land, and they've gotten back, look at me now, they've gotten back to the city of Jerusalem, and they're rebuilding the wall around the city. When they started rebuilding that wall, two men, one named Sanballat, the other named Tobiah, decided to hinder the building of that wall. So they formed a system of opposition against Nehemiah and the people of God building the wall around the city of Jerusalem. Now that is evil. You follow me? That is evil. Why? Because there was a union, Sanballat and Tobiah led in a movement of people getting together for the injury or the damaging of the work of God. All right, look at verse number 12 of Nehemiah 6. And lo, I perceived that God had not sent him. This is a fellow who came to see, and I won't go back to the story behind it. But that he pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Therefore was he hired, that I should be afraid, and do so, and sin, and get this now, and that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me. My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat, according to these their works, and the prophet Noadiah, and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear. Now look at me. These two men, Sanballat and Tobiah, look at this way, they said, we'll stop the building of that wall. And they used every method that they could to stop the building of that wall. They wrote letters of accusation. They tried to discourage them. They tried to get them to join in together with them. And they tried every way they could to discourage the building of that wall. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is evil. It is sin to criticize. It is evil to join with others in an effort to injure somebody else. And he said again, no Christian ought to ever try to hurt any other Christian. No way. Somebody gets together and says, well, there's a person in our church, and that person, his rumor has done thus and so. And brother, we'll get together and we'll smear that person. That is evil. It is evil. It is evil. It is a campaign of people getting together for the hurt or the destruction of somebody else, and that is not your business. That's the vengeance belongs to God and not to you, and you're not the judge. God's the judge, and when you do try to get together to injure somebody, then that becomes evil, and evil is worse than sin. Sin hurts you. Evil hurts somebody else. So, when Sanballat and Tobiah came, they called that an evil report. An evil report. What was it? They had gotten together for destruction, and not just sin, but more than sin, a union to try to destroy somebody. Look at Genesis chapter 37 and verse 1. Genesis chapter 37 and verse 1. This is the story of Joseph. And you recall how his brothers sold him into slavery. A scheme. Or a system whereby they sold their own brother. Look at verse number 1. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father, get this now, their evil report. Their evil report. All right? And look down verse 3. Now Israel, or Jacob, loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. Now look down to verse 17. What is that evil report? Look at verse 17. And the man said, they are departed hence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Look at me. They said, we'll kill Joseph. We'll kill him. And these brothers got together and conspired to kill him. And the Bible calls that an evil report. Now you listen to me. It's bad for you to drink liquor. It's worse for you to sell liquor. It's bad for you to gossip. It's worse for you to try to hurt somebody and enter into some kind of a league to destroy somebody. I don't care who you are. I don't care who you are. It is not your job for the destruction of any other Christian or the injury of any other Christian. Everything we do ought to be for the edification, and as I said last Sunday night, the salvaging of every single believer we can possibly salvage. So, when Joseph's brethren decided that they were going to injure Joseph and kill him, and then they decided to make a buck or two on him, and they decided to sell him, and when they decide to do that, the Bible calls that an evil report. Because sin is what hurts you. Evil is when you join others to hurt somebody else. And so, when these brethren joined together to try to hurt Joseph, that became evil. Now, I'll tell you something. Evil is worse than sin. Now, evil is sin. It is a form of sin. But all sin is not evil. In other words, like I say, if you smoke a cigarette, that's a sin. But it's not evil. Evil is when you enter, listen now, evil is when you enter into a group for the purpose of causing others to do something that would injure them, or you trying to injure them. All right, look if you please to Acts chapter 14, verse 1. Acts chapter 14 and verse number 1. Paul is in Iconium. It says in verse 1. Acts 14:1, and it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds what evil affected. Now, what does it mean? It meant they're going to start something here, try to hurt somebody. All right, look at it now. Made their minds evil affected against the brethren. So what happens? The unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and said, let's get together against Paul. And let's get together against Barnabas. And they got together and joined together. Listen to me now. Listen to me. And they decided that they were going to try to injure Paul. Now, I'll die before I'll start a campaign to hurt anybody. I'll die before I'll do it. My job is not to hurt. My job is to help. My job is not to tear down. My job is to build up. But you say, Brother Hines, what if somebody tries to tear you down? My job is still to build up. There's a certain preacher who's tried to destroy me. I've never attacked him. Never accused him. You know why? I think the fellow's a soul winner. My Bible says I'm not supposed to touch the fruit trees. I could attack him. I got some stuff on that curl your hair or wrinkle your scalp. But I won't do it. By the way, I didn't look for that stuff. I didn't look for it because it's wrong for me to look for it. It's wrong for me to enter into any endeavor of investigation. It's wrong for me to enter into any kind of a movement with somebody else for the destruction or the injuring of somebody else. Good night. Everybody's having a tough time. I used to go off the broadcast every morning saying, be good to everybody, because everybody's having a tough time. Why should I want to hurt anybody? We're all here on this earth. We share the same world together. And we have the same blood of Christ that's washed away our sins. Why should we want to hurt anybody? And so, God, when Jesus said, pray like this, he said, deliver us from evil. What's he saying? Dear Lord, don't let me try to join with anybody to hurt anybody. That's what he's saying. Deliver us from evil. All right? So we've seen in the life of Joseph, how that his brethren did evil in trying to destroy him. We've seen in the life of Nehemiah, in the rebuilding of the wall, how that Sanballat and Tobiah and their group did evil in trying to get together for the destruction of the work of Nehemiah. We've seen how that the people in Iconium got together and did evil for the destruction of the Apostle Paul and his fellow traveler Barnabas. Now, as we approach the end time, evil is getting worse all the time. Now, I'm not saying sin. Sin is too. But evil is. Open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Let me ask you a question. Are you suffering any persecution? I guess you don't live godly then. Look at it there. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But, get this, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Listen, I have never in my ministry of 43 years of pastoring seen pastors under the attack they're under right now. Never have. Not talking about myself, but I'm talking about all across this nation. By the way, it's always the soul-winning pastors. Always is. I said one day to a friend, I said, Brother Mike Haynes in Charleston, South Carolina, is going to have trouble, some serious trouble. And somebody said, why? In trouble in his church? I said, no. But the fellow's baptizing 1,500 folks a year, probably. He's in 6 or 7 years, one of our dear graduates, Mike Haynes, has grown a church from nothing. I mean, meeting in a junkyard, has grown a church to running as high as almost 3,000 in Sunday school. You young folks over here, you've talked enough. Sit up and look at me while I'm teaching. That's right, you son. And so, I said, Mike Haynes is going to have trouble. Why? Because the devil's not going to overlook that great work down there. I mean, the guy's averaging 1,400 or 1,500 in Sunday school now. 6 or 7 years ago, started the place in a junkyard with a handful, maybe 15, 20 people. He's going to have trouble. Would you believe it? Would you believe it? Just a few weeks ago, one of his staff members went into an awful thing. He only had 2 men on the staff. Second staff member rebelled against his pastor, sent letters to every family in the church accusing his pastor of a bunch of dirty stuff. You said, Brother House, what do you say? The Bible says right here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived.
You mark it down. As the great soul-winning churches in America rise on the scene, and brother, they're rising all over this nation. There never has been the great soul-winning churches in America that we have today. I said, concerning Dr. Jack Creeper in Southern California, one of the great churches in America now, is that great church in Santa Clara, California, and North Valley Baptist Church. I said, the devil's not going to overlook him. He's not going to do it. Why? Because the devil is going to form a group of people to try to destroy a genuine soul-winning work of God. You can let a church sit and study the Bible all you want to, brother, and the devil will go somewhere else and won't even show up. But he's after soul-winning. He wants everybody to go to hell. He wants nobody saved. And, brother, you let a church get on fire for God to reach souls and go out in the highways and hedges, the maimed, the halt, the poor, the blind, the house-to-house soul-winning, the buses, the passing out tracks, the street services, and I'll guarantee you, evil men, listen to me, evil men are going to wax worse and worse. What is it? They get together. It's the same story everywhere. Young people back here, listen to me. It's the same story everywhere. I said this before we had our big day, the day we had 5,190. And it's an amazing thing why that hasn't spread across America very much. It's very interesting. One person here can be accused of something that he didn't do, and that'll spread across America. But it's a very interesting thing. 5,190 folks walked these aisles right here in this auditorium, were baptized here on one Sunday, and many of you were here to see it. And that doesn't spread very much. You know why? Because the devil's the accuser. I said before that big day, I dread to have it. I dread to have it. Somebody said, why? What are you talking about? I said, I dread to have it. Because I know just as sure as we have the 3,000 people saved on Pentecost Sunday, I know the devil will launch an attack upon us, the like of which we've never seen in this world. And I want to say something today, that you better pray for these young men that are going out from Howells Anderson College, and you better pray for God to give them strength and power, because as they build these great soul-winning churches like they're doing across America, brother, evil men will get together for their destruction and get together for their injury. You pray for them. Our Bob Gray down in Longview, Texas, graduate of our college, baptizing 4,000 people a year. You understand what that is? Nobody's doing that in America today, but this church here, nobody's close to it. You understand? That's 8 times as many as Spurgeon baptized in his best years. You understand that? What you said with the house, Spurgeon, Bob Gray is no Spurgeon. That's what they said about Spurgeon. I'm saying 4,000 people baptized a year, 4,000 people getting out of hell, that's pretty good if Spurgeon does it or Garfield the cat does it. But you never seen a guy in America get criticism like that young Bob Gray's getting. All across America. He's shallow. Yeah, he's so shallow he's getting folks out of hell. He's so shallow he's doing what Jesus died for. He's so shallow he's doing what Jesus left heaven and came to earth for. For Christ Jesus came to save sinners, and the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. But as sure as you get in that kind of business, you get ready for it. Because the evil men, and that's why they're waxing worse and worse, because soul winning is waxing better and better. And soul winning churches are waxing better and better. Young men all across this nation. I was out this last week. I told you a while ago. Did I tell you about I told you. About the possum? Yeah, I can't remember over 30 minutes. My Alzheimer's disease is these little green fellows that follow me all the time that give me trouble. But I mean, they baptized 20 in a horse tank last Sunday. For some of these deeper lifers that criticize guys like that, 20 is a ministry lifetime. And I guarantee you, brother, the trouble's coming. Why? Because evil men wax worse and worse, and they get together and try to destroy the work of God. Now notice this. Look at James chapter 3 and verse 8. James chapter 3 and verse 8. James 3:8. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Look at me. It doesn't call the tongue a sin here. It calls the tongue an evil here. You see, When the tongue, say the tongue curses, that's a sin. But when the tongue hurts, that's an evil. That's why it says the tongue is an unruly evil, full of poison. Why? Because it's trying to hurt somebody. Now listen carefully. When you, now hear me carefully now, and if this be treason, make the best of it. When you decide that you are going to enter into a group of people to hurt somebody in a church or anybody else's church, layman or preacher, doesn't matter, and you spend your time joining with these people trying to hurt somebody, then you are doing something that is very, very evil. Well, you say, Brother Hiles, what are you supposed to do with sinners? Try lifting them. What you supposed to do with sinners? Try being a friend to them. Well, Brother Hiles, that's covering up sin. Like I said Sunday night, Jesus covered that up. He took care of that to all believers already. I'm not minimizing the awfulness of sin, but I'm saying this. No Christian is ever supposed to hurt another Christian. No Christian is ever supposed to hurt another Christian. But we want to hide behind a canopy of people. We want to get in a group of people because one-on-one we can't take it. So we get in there, we'll destroy so-and-so. Now, folks, listen to me. In a church the size of this, we're going to have people, somebody's going to be in sin all the time. I mean, I'm not buying sin. We're all in sin all the time. But somebody's going to stumble. Good night, every week of my life. I talked today on the telephone to a member of our church that just a few weeks ago was in everything here. Soul winner at the Foster Club. A lady. Then she said, I've been to several bars this week. I mean, I'm talking about somebody that sat right here less than 2 months ago. You know what I told her? Why, I said, you hussy, you. You sorry Jezebel, you. Our staff's going to have a meeting tomorrow to expose you. So all of our people know what a hussy you are. No, I didn't say that. I'll call her Betty. It wasn't Betty. But I said, Betty, listen to me. I'm your preacher, and I love you. And I beg you don't ruin your life. And I beg you give me a chance to help you. I beg you sit down with me and let me talk to you just a little while. And I wept, and she said, preacher, I can't do it. But she said, I know you love me. And I'll guarantee you, when I ever get to the place where I think I'm ready to come back out of sin and get right with God, she said, you're the person I want to talk to. And that's the purpose of it all, ladies and gentlemen. It's all about that. And so, when the tongue hurts somebody else, that's evil. By the way, it implies talking to somebody else to hurt them, or hurts another. If I talk to you to hurt him, you and I, your ear and my tongue is entering into an alliance to do evil because we are hurting him. Now, folks, sin is committed by all of us, and we fall into sin. Okay, Jesus said in 1 John 2:1, my little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. He didn't want us to sin. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. That's talking about when we do something to hurt ourselves. A fellow stumbles, he falls. But when a person maliciously joins up in an effort, joins up with other people and hurts somebody else, whether selling him a bottle of liquor, whether selling him a package of cigarettes, whether criticizing him or trying to hurt him in some effort to destroy somebody, that is malicious evil. That's more than just sin. That is malicious evil. Now, what are you supposed to do? Open your Bibles, please, to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. What are you supposed to do? Look at verse number 14. Proverbs 4:14. Enter not into the path of the wicked, now get this, and go not in the way of evil men. Look at me. Did you read that? Who's an evil man? One who what? Tries to what? Hurt. And joins with what? Others and tries to hurt. What does it say? It says right there, it says, go not in the way of evil men. What does it mean? It means don't walk the same path. It means don't play on the same ball team. It means don't go to the same picnic. It means you're not supposed to walk in the way of people who are trying to hurt somebody. Not supposed to. I made mention several times lately about a campaign that was carried on to try to hurt Dr. John Rice years ago.
and some men who are nationally known decided they were going to try to hurt Dr. John Rice. I didn't run with them. I didn't preach for them. I didn't preach with them. Not going to. Why? Because I'm not supposed to walk the path with evil men. Who's an evil man? A man who joins a group to hurt John Rice. Or joins a group to hurt Bob Hooker. Joins a group to hurt Jeff Owens. Or joins a group to hurt Roy Moffitt. I'm not supposed to walk with them. I'm not supposed to go in their path. I'm not supposed to fellowship with them. I don't think I'm supposed to preach for them. I'm not going to have them preach for me. Why? Because they're trying to destroy, and we're not supposed to be a part of destruction. We're supposed to be a part of building. It's an old story, maybe. Maybe twice I've told it. I was in, what's that town on the eastern shores of Maryland? You live there. What? Salisbury, right. Salisbury, Maryland. I was there preaching. The pastor let me borrow a car. I was driving down one of the main streets in town, that street that drives from that hotel that we had that out downtown. I stopped for a stoplight, looked over and I saw on this corner over here, I saw two foundations for houses, slabs. One right beside the other. One obviously had been burned. It had some charred wood still on it, and you could tell that there was had been burned because of the burning color of the concrete. The other obviously had been started, but had not been finished. And I looked and I saw those two houses, the two slabs there. One had once been a house and had been destroyed, and once had never been one had never been a house. And I pulled over beside the road and I said, "That's it. I'd rather be that house that's been burned. Somebody used to live there. Somebody used to love there. At one time, that house sheltered people. But I almost could hear that house next door that never had been a house, that foundation, criticized that house that had been burned. It was a fundamental house. And I could almost hear it saying, 'Look at that house right there. It's been burned. It's fallen.' And I looked over at the Pharisee house and I said, 'I'd love to be that house that once did something and you just never done something to criticize a guy that once was something. And I'd rather be that house that has had a history to help somebody and has been destroyed by fire than to be the house that's never helped anybody, never warmed anybody, never kept anybody out of the elements, never kept anybody from getting from the rain, never kept anybody from the cold, never housed someone while they loved and ate and lived, the house that never has done it. You don't give me those people sit around, never have done anything, criticize those that have fallen. You give me the guy that says, 'For the grace of God, every time I see anybody that's fallen, I'm going to run to him.' I use this so often. I like those white corpuscles that I use so often. If I have an infection here on my hand, all over my body, little white corpuscles say, 'Let's run down there. Let's go down there.' Why? Because there's something infected down there on the hand. And brother, down here, my big toe, a little white corpuscle says, 'I'm taking a vacation. I'm taking a trip. I'm going to go up that leg and across that amazing body, and I'm going to, I don't understand the humor, but I'll go on. At least it's a long trip. Yeah, it's a long journey. And that little corpuscle down there in my toe says there's some trouble brewing up there on the little finger, and it's infected. And that little corpuscle runs up there and sits right there on the hand and says, 'You dirty sinner, you, I can't run with you. You sorry rascal, you, I'm gonna tell the whole body what you did.' No, that little white corpuscle runs over there, up there, and as he runs up my leg and across me, he says to other corpuscles, 'Why don't you join me?' And little white corpuscles run all together, and they get right there, and they run right there, and they begin to attack the disease and infection there on that little finger, and that's exactly what the body of Christ ought to do. Years ago, Lester Roloff was in the battle. And a real battle. And those of us that loved him went down there. Every time he'd get in the battle, brother, all of us white corpuscles would go down there. And we'd converge on Corpus Christi, Texas. And we'd go down there. Why? Because somebody in the body was having trouble. But you Pharisees, somebody in the body has trouble, you stomp him. You want to destroy him. If you can get somebody else to get with you, you'll spread it all over the country. And your telephone, you'll have to have four or five more telephone lines and a fax machine. That's not Christianity. No, it's not Christianity.
Bible says, now, with whom are we not supposed to walk? The fellow who's the evil man. The sinner, help him. The evil man, don't walk with him. Don't be with the evil crowd, the crowd trying to destroy. Don't be with that crowd. Now, look at verse number, back again to Proverbs. What was it? Proverbs 4. It says, enter not into the path of the wicked, verse 14, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Avoid what? Avoid the path of evil men. Avoid the path of those men that get together for destruction. Romans 16:17 says, mark those that cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine and avoid them. Now look what else it says. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. I'm not going to run with the crowd that's trying to destroy. I'm going to run with the crowd that's trying to build up. I don't know enough about the body or enough about medicine to know what to say here. But I'm going to be a white corpuscle. Some people want to go there and add to the infection. I want to go there and fight the infection. And I'm not going to run with the crowd. The evil was a friend of sinners. Never said he was a friend of the evil crowd. The evil crowd, the one he rebuked. They're trying to destroy. Jesus lifted sinners. But Jesus rebuked the evil crowd. Those who are bent to destruction. Those that join with each other in an effort to destroy. And how do you conquer it? Look at Romans 12:21. How do you conquer it? If Romans chapter 12. And verse number 21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now what does that mean? That means, hear me carefully now, when people try to destroy you, what are you supposed to do? Keep on doing good? What the Savior did. Jesus kept right on his course. Luke 19:10 said he came to the world to save sinners. I'm sorry. Some has come to seek and save that which was lost. He kept right on course. The best defense, you hear me carefully now, the best defense of the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana is the 100th baptism of Sunday this summer. That's the best defense. The best defense of First Baptist Church of Hammond is the 1,000 more baptisms this year than up to the same time last year. And 3,000 more people saved. Well, you say, how you know how many of those were sincere? I haven't got any idea. I haven't got any idea how many of your four were sincere either. I haven't got any idea. Now, what are we supposed to do? Overcome evil with good. When evil men get together to try to destroy us, what are we supposed to do? Keep feeding the poor, hungry. What are we supposed to do? When evil men try to destroy us, what are we supposed to do? Keep putting a coat in the wintertime around a cold little boy's shoulders. What are we supposed to do? Keep putting food on the table of a family that can't afford any food. What are we supposed to do? Keep loving people that nobody loves. Overcome evil with good. That's the way you do it. You stay on course. You don't turn to the left. You don't turn to the right. You stay on course. The purpose of First Baptist Church of Hammond is not to defend First Baptist Church of Hammond. The purpose of First Baptist Church of Hammond is to defend this book and the Savior who gave it to us. And to do good. Overcome evil with evil? No. Overcome evil with good. Seek revenge? No. Seek sinners. That's the way you overcome it. But you say, Brother Hiles, you understand. I've been criticized severely, and folks, I got folks in this church won't even speak to me. What am I supposed to do? Overcome evil with good. That's one good thing about it, folks. The unsaved people know nothing about the battles of the saved. Those poor little kids up in Chicago, and those poor people in Chicago in those big apartment houses, all they know is they're hungry. And all they know is they don't know who their daddy is. And all they know is that nobody loves them. You knock on their door and say, I'm the First Baptist Church, Hammond. They don't say, oh, that church. They don't say that. You give them a smile and a warm handshake, and they'll give you a smile in return,
And you bring them, put them on these buses and bring them out here and let them know that you love them and Jesus loves them and teach these little girls how to make their own dresses and put them in City Baptist School and let them know that Christ loves them and we love them. That's all they're concerned about. Overcome evil with good. How do you overcome evil? With good. With good. With good. That's the purpose of it. That's what Nehemiah did.